welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Beth Newell, editor and co-founder of the satirical women's magazine Reductress.
And I'm Peter McNerney, actor, improviser, and also her husband. We are real-life married couple and real parents.
We have two children, a 3-year-old boy named Bryn and a 21-month-old girl named Maven.
We Know Parenting is the parenting podcast where we can pair notes of our week in parenting and try to figure out what we do and don't know about how to raise our children.
Yes, we are in no way experts, just two comedian parents trying to figure it out as we go along.
Now, Beth, it's episode 2. I'm feeling good. It's early in the morning.
I have my breakfast sandwich.
We feel so great. We decided to record early in the morning right after daylight saving time. Did you know that it's daylight saving time, not daylight savings time?
I did read that yesterday. I always think it's funny when people correct stuff like that really, like, haughtily, like they're like so proud of their grammar knowledge, like as if
that's gonna be me for the rest of this week.
Language is evolving and I think people need to chill out about it.
Oh, but I like rules and I like knowing that I'm right about the rules.
Well, I guess you're just better than other people.
Well, if that's how it comes across, that's fine. They can interpret it that way if they choose.
Okay.
So we've had a lot happen in the last week. It's been, oh boy. Well, let's start on the lighter side. We had friends over.
Yeah, it was like a big deal because we live like an hour or more from all of our friends, right?
We moved out of the city and have not made any friends outside of the city.
We've made casual acquaintances, but we haven't made friends.
You have your yoga mom friends.
Oh, sort of, yeah. But
I've been actively avoiding new friendships. But I'm afraid of people.
Our schedules are so busy, there's just no time to like hang out places and get to know people.
Right.
So anyway, we had a friend up here. We had two friends, another married couple, which is like, for me, feels like a big deal, both because we never have guests and also because I feel like when people who are married are like, want to come hang out with your kids, it feels like they're trying on kids.
Yeah.
And so it's like a lot of pressure because you're like, you don't want to like give them an inaccurate version of what it's like to be a parent, but you also
don't want to scare the shit out of them. You also don't want to seem like a negligent slob.
Right.
So there was a bit of a like, we're auditioning our kids for the potential role of the, of your model of parenthood.
Right. We're...
And I tell you what, Bryn felt like he was auditioning as well.
And I will say when I used to babysit a lot of the time, sometimes I would walk into people's houses and it was like a huge mess. And not in a way where, like, not that I hate messes, but you could just tell.
Not that you hate messes?
I do hate messes, okay. But not that I'm judgmental of other people's messes, I think. But you would walk into a house and you could feel the... psychic energy. You could feel this feeling of exhaustion of the parents, and they're like, you could feel the stress it was placing on their marriage. To me,
yeah, I've been in houses like that. I wouldn't call it psychic energy. I would call it tangible evidence.
Okay, but
yes, I understand what you're saying.
There's a palpable sense of stress and overwhelm.
Of just, you can see the scene in which they saw this thing that they could have dealt with and just couldn't handle it in that moment.
Yeah, like one of the big like telltale signs for me would be like a half-filled glass of wine in the morning in someone's house, but like in reach of children. Like, it was just like, you're like, this person is tired.
I mean, that's what it is. You see a scene like that and it's like, suddenly it's SVU, where you see these flashes of potential crime scenes.
Yeah. So we wanted our friends to feel like we were not dying over here, even though sometimes we are a little bit. And you know,
I just want to say, you were saying we a lot. None of this crossed my mind.
Okay. Well, this is all mom stress.
Well, no. I'll say the difference is I did think of that, but it was like, oh, I got to go pick them up from the train station. And I was like, ooh, yeah. What does the apartment look like?
I have to say, you did fall asleep with Maven an hour before they got there, which was a great time for me to have to clean the whole apartment by myself while Bryn was boycotting his nap and getting in a bad mood.
It's true.
And then you half-heartedly tried to give... force him down for a nap and make him incredibly angry right before they got here.
This is true. I did lay down with Maven because she wouldn't go to sleep, and I very unintentionally fell asleep for a long time. I will not dispute that.
I just don't believe that you unintentionally fall asleep.
I mean, you're laying down with a small child, okay. And just so, because she won't go to sleep, and so you're lay there for a while. I think that is... that is the most likely scenario in the world that you would accidentally fall asleep. It's not like I was driving a truck. Boy, that was too real. That happens, and terrible accidents occur.
Well, there's lot of accidental things
we have
that
veered off course.
I think dads tend to have the luxury of accidentally doing a lot of things that moms are less likely to do, but that's a topic for another day.
So they came over, which was great. So first of all, this is our friend Rachel, who works with both of us in two different companies. Mm-hmm. Works with me at Story Pirates and with you at Reductress. And so she's on the Story Pirates podcast with myself, with me. And so Bryn knows this voice but has never met this person. So we went to the train station ready to pick up Rachel and her husband David. And we were listening to that podcast into Bryn's favorite songs, listening to Rachel sing. And I was like, we're going to pick up Rachel. This is Rachel. And he's like, ooh, ooh, excited, but I think also didn't really know what I was talking about.
Had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. No. So they showed up and they got in the car, but we had just heard her voice the second before she got in. And so she started talking to Bryn, and I think he got it. And he was real excited. He met a celebrity.
And Maven was the total opposite, where she was like, why are you putting people in my presence?
And why are you looking at me, looking at them?
Maven hates new people.
Well, she's exactly like you, which is if you go, hey, Beth, we're expecting you to have some sort of reaction, and now we're going to stare at you and wait for you to give us that reaction.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It's annoying. I think she's like, I thought we were going to have a fun Saturday hangout as a family where I could relax and be myself, and now I'm on display.
You both sort of felt that way. After Bryn wouldn't go to sleep and you're cleaning up, both of you are like, okay, we're having a good time. We've got to have a good time now. Bryn, on the other hand, as soon as we get home, he's just like showing things to Rachel and David. Like, hey, look at this.
Yeah, he was really on. He was...
he was on.
He loves an audience.
He's also... Can we talk about whatever the hell this accent is that Bryn has?
Yeah, he's been doing this weird baby voice when he's like in performance mode that he like won't drop. But it also sometimes feels like he's mimicking this Hispanic accent of the women at daycare.
There's some of the vowel sounds are just very... It sounds like he's speaking Spanish.
I have to tell you a story. So last night we were in the car with Allie, my sister, and he was doing a lot of his potty humor, which is he's really into right now.
Oh, it's huge.
And Allison goes, Bryn, how do you say fart in Spanish? And he goes, fartalota. Which is not a real word, but he said it with a perfect Spanish accent. I don't think that's a real Spanish word. But no. He very clearly and distinctly said, fartalota.
Fartalota. No, no, no. No, no, tia. No, no, tia, Ali. Es fartalota. Yeah. Oh, he's got a great Spanish dialect. Amazing. So anyway, he's in full performance mode. And I said it when you're here. I was like, this kid's going to crash. And he decided to crash on our way to dinner, where he completely freaked out to the point where I had to drop you and our guests and Maven off at the restaurant while I took him home. And it was also a night after that giant storm, and half of the town had a blackout. So every single family in town decided to go out to dinner that night. And the restaurant we went to was not prepared for it.
Yeah, it was... It's not good. The idea of taking kids out to eat and then waiting to eat...
Ugh.
Even before you're already at the table when you also had to wait to eat. And then after you left, we still waited for... They didn't take our order until you went home, fed Bryn a peanut butter sandwich, came back to the restaurant, and then they finally took our order.
Yeah, I was expecting to swoop in and like catch up eating a burrito.
Maven was really good though. She's like the perfect child. She's
really winning. Don't tell Bren. But he was pretty good after that. And only tried to escape and run around the restaurant like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. So anyway, despite our efforts, he had a full-on meltdown in front of our friends, and now they know the real story of being a parent.
And then now they are divorced.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? This is a segment where Peter learns and shares a parenting or child-related fact. Peter, what's your fact?
Oh, boy, Beth, did I ever Google a thing. And this fact comes to us from a very long article, of which I only read one graph.
Perfect.
It's from the Pew Research Center. So you know it's a good one. And it's about how parents rank themselves. Are you a good parent? Mm-hmm. And it's broken down by, so this survey was done in 2015, and it's asking parents of different ages who currently have children under 18, how well they'll think they're doing. So they broke it down by gender, mothers and fathers, millennials, Gen Xers, and boomers. Don't look, but I want you to guess, which of those demographics do you think most highly rated themselves as good parents?
Well, first of all, I'm sure the men rated themselves higher than the women. Then I would say I'm going to guess the older generations rated themselves. It's hard. I think there's going to be like a blip somewhere in the middle where like people around, like people older than millennial probably rated themselves the lowest.
The Gen Xers?
Yeah.
Well, almost all of that logic was faulty in terms of it at least does not pan out in the data. Mothers rate themselves higher than fathers.
Interesting.
And the most highly rated of themselves is millennial mothers.
Interesting.
57% of millennial mothers said, I'm doing a great job. Lowest one was Gen X fathers, 37%. But yeah, men were lower than women except for boomers. The, you know, sort of 51 to 69 fathers, 42% over 41% for women said, yeah, I'm doing a great job.
Okay. So I feel like people rated themselves kind of accurately.
Whoa, think, that's a real dig on boomer moms.
Women... What, boomer moms rated themselves lower.
1% lower than a boomer man.
I was more of a dig on men. And
Well, that's why it didn't make the sense that you weren't, a dig on men.
I think, you know, moms usually do more of the work for better or worse. And I think, what did you say Gen X men rated themselves lower?
Gen X men was lowest, 37%.
And I buy that because based on my very unscientific knowledge, I feel like Gen X men are in this weird, like, in between space where, like, boomers are sort of like have more divided gender roles on average, and millennials have more of like, you know, this like shared responsibility thing we have going where there's no like person who does the household stuff.
Yeah, and Gen Xers are right in the middle.
Gen X are right in the middle where I think it's more often that the women want what millennials are starting to put into practice, and the men psychologically have not caught up to the concept.
Yeah, they don't know. They're more of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to emulate their fathers, but they also, they've seen a lot of Mad Men, which is not, you know, that's an even
older generation.
Right,
and I think a lot of times, like, men want applause for, like, partial effort. You know, they're like, well, I'm better than my dad was at this, but you're like, hello, here I am over here, like pulling my hair out.
Yeah. Whereas I think millennials, by the way, what are we?
We're millennials.
See, I've read all these articles about where the line of millennials are. And, I fall right on that line. Some of them say I'm the oldest of the millennials, and some say I'm like, I guess the youngest of the Gen Xers. I was born in 82.
It's weird that this term is thrown around so constantly and no one knows. It's like not actually defined.
Well, it's because it's totally made up. Like, what's the point in which, well, that generation's done.
Right.
Next one begins.
But I would say we are, in terms of your attitudes towards technology and like the workforce,
yeah,
you have a millennial approach.
You grew up with that.
I mean,
I got my first email address when I was in sixth grade. So yeah, it wasn't pervasive for my whole childhood, but anyway, what I want to know, Beth, is what score do you give yourself?
On a scale of what?
A scale of 1 to 100. What's your rank? Well, we should both think of it. And, oh no, I regret setting this up.
I get 100, I think.
Well, if you get 100, I get 100.
I mean, it's impossible to get 100. I would give myself 89.
I give myself 88.8.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just, right. Well, you know what? I read this and my first thought, to be totally honest, was I'm doing great. I'm a millennial dad.
Well, that's why I think this generational thing is really interesting, because I think you are doing great compared to most dads. But I would still say, as a feminist, I want you to do better.
Oh, I'm well aware. and that's that. I don't want a reward, Beth. I don't need to be praised.
Yes, you do. You love
me. I don't need it. Yeah, of course. But, I mean, if you want to, please.
I think you do need it.
Did I marry you then?
Because it's a life lesson.
Oh, okay. That's what you know what? I want to learn a valuable life lesson for the rest of my life.
At some point, we should talk about love languages.
Oh, big time. Of which Beth and I took the love language test and ranked almost the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And validation is Beth's least important thing, and it's my most.
Validation was not really like a thing in my household, so it doesn't.
It was a big thing in mine. I just noticed this. There's another graph. Boy, I love some graphs. Most parents want others to see them as good parents. And it says the percent saying it matters a lot that blank category of people see them as good parents. 93% of people want their spouse or partner to see them as good parents. 72% want other parents to see them as good parents. 56% want the children's other parent, want the other one to see them as a good parent. 52% want their friends to see them as good parents. And 45% want people in the community to see them as good parents. Who do you care most about thinking you're a good parent?
Oh, man. Everyone? I guess the community thing is like the one that strikes fear into me, just in terms of like,
well, what does that mean? Who's the community?
Well, specifically,
is it your Facebook mom group?
Yes. I mean, I want approval from everyone, but like I would say, in terms of community, like here in town, like I get slightly scared of the idea of like leaving my kids in the car or having them like wander off or something, and having people think that I'm putting my kids' lives in danger. And I feel like that has been amplified by the fact that I gave birth in a car and and like everyone seems to know it. So I feel like that's already like a red flag for people, because people are so attuned
to. Do you feel judged about that? Do you feel like people think like, oh, what an idiot, neglectful mother who gave birth in a car? Because that's never really crossed my mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, I got all that hateful Twitter messages about it, which I think, to be fair, is probably a lot of like teen boys who don't know anything about.
Well, you got a bunch of hate. Oh, you did. There were some incredible comments about that.
Yeah, I mean, they were...
The thought that I was a dad taking a picture while I was driving the car.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird hate all over the place. But anyway, as I've said before, I think there's just a lot of desire for people to judge mothers in the world. That's like a go-to misogynistic attitude that I would say most people to some degree are like, they're biased towards.
You know what is really funny is I have never once considered, been ashamed or embarrassed about this detail. It's just a super cool fact. My daughter's born in a car. It's a great story. You want to hear it?
But for me, it's like,
if I can remember hearing about people giving birth in cars.
Yeah, you were like, why didn't they get to the hospital? Right?
Well, maybe I didn't even think it through, although I was just like, oh, that's scary.
Well, I love the story personally, but every time I tell it, there's various aspects of it that I'm like, people are going to think I'm the worst mom in the world.
Well, you're not.
Thank you.
I rate you very highly, at least 98.5.
Wow.
What did you rate yourself?
89.
You're 97.
You just went down. You just said 98.5 and then you said 97.
I said 98.5?
Yeah.
In my brain, I was thinking 89. You're 107. Baby.
Okay, well, you're getting a lot of mixed messages, but thank you.
You know what? You're a solid C minus. That's what I'm saying. Two and a half thumbs up. All right, our next segment is called Widow Knows. This is a segment where we share our most defeating or perplexing parenting moments of the week. Beth, what's your We Don't Knows moment of the week? We got a bunch of options week.
So once again, Maven was sick.
Yeah.
And that's just so exhausting. She was fine, but she had a fever almost the entire week, which means we couldn't send her to daycare. And then there's a question of whether we take her to the doctor or whatever, like
urgent care.
How long does she have to not have a fever before she can go back to school? And it's just exhausting, and it's hard to be home with a kid and like just all day long know that you're getting no work done.
Yeah.
So you and I both traded off. She was home 4 days this week.
Well, yeah. Rewinding back before that, you know, she had an ear infection that happened. And then Bryn threw up at school.
Right.
If you recall in our first episode, we were talking about like, just send him to school. They're sick. And then we paid that karmic price. Bryn threw up and we went and we're like, oh no. And they're like, has he been sick? We're like, well, we don't know.
Well, he wasn't sick.
It's true.
He didn't seem sick.
We took him home and he fell asleep for 3 hours and then seemed fine. And
he never threw up at home. He only would throw up as soon as we took him.
So we took him back the next day with a doctor's note because it had been 24 hours since he threw up. Took him back. We get a call 4 hours later. He's thrown up again and daycare is not happy. And I felt intense embarrassment and shame.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot because I was like, why do I feel so ashamed about this?
I was so stressed about it.
I cannot handle even slight disapproval. And this was, I knew they were justified in being annoyed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, I am doing what I was told by my husband.
Well, you're by the doctor. The part of the text that stressed me is, and it's also like not perfect English. So a little bit of the text is hard to decipher. But the I don't understand this doctor's note was the line that I was like, what does that mean? Do they think it's fake?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You told me to call the doctor and ask for a doctor's note. And the phone call went like this. Hello, doctor office. Hi, my daughter is a patient here and I'm trying to get a doctor's note. Okay, what's the phone number? Here's the phone number. Okay, bye. That was they didn't ask about symptoms. They didn't ask about anything. And I was like, I know it's not supposed to go down like this, but I'm tired and I have work to do.
Yeah. You know what? I knew that happens, but I really thought he was fine. But this is lesson learned. We were wrong.
I did think he was fine. Well, I think where daycare got mad, and there's like a bit of a blur here, is they want the kid to be better for 24 hours, which in our mind he was because he had thrown up the previous morning.
And we kept him home a little bit the next day and then took him there after 24 hours.
Yeah, but I guess he just decided to be sick at school.
And he didn't throw up at home ever. He didn't show any signs at home ever. Just waited to go back to school and then barfed all over himself.
It's not our fault. It's not our fault.
So we're like, okay, that's over. The next week we bring him home on Monday. And then the next week Maven gets the fever.
And she had a very clear fever all week. So there was no fighting that.
But also no other symptoms.
Yeah. She was also like happy and perky and not... What's annoying, I think, is like Bryn would have laid on the couch most of the day and watched TV and left us alone. But she just does not have
that needy 1-year-old always wanting to be picked up.
Constantly wants
milk,
to grab my hand
milk.
And lead me to the kitchen. And then she wants to look at everything we have and then be disappointed in it and
this
tell
him. Is driving me crazy. Where she'll, first of all, she's very articulate these days, but when she's needy, all the words go away.
Yeah, and she just
and she
goes,
grabs your finger and goes,
The funny thing
takes you to this happened to you? Take you to the fridge, and she goes, milk. And you go, all right, get some milk. And it pulls out the milk. Milk. And then you pick up a cup that she doesn't want, and she goes, no milk.
Right.
Like, okay. And I put the milk away. And then she goes, milk. And I goes, okay. It goes, wrong cup. No milk. I'm like, is it the cup? No milk. Grab a different cup. And then finally figure out what the right container is that she wants.
Yeah. Or sometimes she just wants you to present things so she can act annoyed by your presentation. Also, a funny thing happened this week where she was doing her whiny, and Prin goes, Maven, why you say And she goes, cause And so that's a new game they have where he asks her that and she just goes, cause,
They're fighting is driving me nuts this week.
Oh, my God.
They've just turned into classic little kids where he goes, Maven, rah! And she goes, no, rah! No, rah! And then she bursts into tears.
Yeah, and she's starting a lot of it now where she'll just walk up to him and push him or she'll, yeah, she's like, go away, Bryn.
Go away. But the funniest thing that happened is she was sitting on the couch and Bryn came into the room and the TV was on and she goes, I can't see, Bryn. But he was not in front of the TV.
Right.
He just says that to her all the time. And so then Bryn was like, oh, yeah, and went and stood in front of the TV. And then she created her own problem.
Right.
And then burst into tears. And they do that, my mommy, my mommy, my mommy. I keep saying, our mommy, our mommy. This fight is ridiculous.
I think they came to a slight conclusion on that, which is that Bryn, I'm Bryn's mommy and you're Maven's daddy.
Yeah, that's her counter argument.
That's their ownership.
He says, my mommy. And she goes, my daddy.
And like, he's like, okay, you can have him.
Great, take him. I don't want him. Well, this next segment is called What Do They Knows? Where we talk to our kids to find out what they're thinking. We had one very specific plan for this week's segment, but as you'll hear, it all goes out the window pretty quick when chaos ensues. The recording quality is all over the place because of said chaos. Please enjoy. I'll do this page and you do this.
No, you can do all of them.
Oh, I can do all of it?
Yeah.
Can't you just do the, we're going on a bear hunt, we're going, oh, we have spilled milk.
Yep.
Oh, no. No, you don't, Bryn, you just threw my backpack onto spilled milk. That's not a good solution, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, because now my backpack's all dirty with milk. All right, how should we clean this up?
Mommy.
No. All right, I gotta clean it up now. No. You're literally just spreading it around. Don't touch it. Don't touch.
Oh, Daddy, shrimp.
We're out of paper towels. Oh, Maven, that's my shoe. Oh, you're monsters. But now the rug has milk in it. My backpack has milk in it. My shoes have milk on it. There's milk on everything.
And my socks.
And your socks. Bryn, tell me about what just happened.
I put everything in the milk.
You put everything in the milk? You mean like my stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think you should say sorry to me?
No.
Did you reject the apology and burp at the same time?
Yeah, I burped.
Maybe that's a dirty milk towel.
My stuff.
You have paint on your... No. Oh, yucky. You have paint in your mouth. Is that yucky?
Please.
There's chaos everywhere.
I made a green toothbrush.
Why do you have paint on your mouth also?
Because I do.
Oh, you guys are monsters. You're monsters!
Yeah.
This has been a great interview. Signing off. Goodbye, Maven.
Hi.
No, goodbye.
Hi.
No, I'm saying goodbye.
Hi.
No, I'm saying goodbye.
Hi.
Bryn, goodbye.
Hi.
No, I'm saying goodbye.
Hi.
Do you guys know what goodbye means?
No.
This This next segment is called We Knows What They're Watching.
We Knows.
This is a segment where we discuss our children's latest pop culture obsessions, such as shows, books, etc.
Bryn loves... it makes me so angry. And we need to delete the YouTube app from the Apple TV.
Good luck with that. He's going to find it.
Oh, it's... I don't know. He finds... There's all of these companies that create just... simple animation with kids' music, and it's all done on a laptop, and the music is the most soulless, robotic, straight rhythm of, like, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
See, I think it's round weird.
Round and round. Round. Like, no
it's,
swing.
Wheels I think it's on weird the bus you, go. It, why do you expect, like, the Venn diagram of you and Bryn's viewing pleasure to completely overlap? Because he's a... 3-year-old.
I don't expect him to have the same taste as me. I just don't want him to watch this mindless crap.
It's music, though. He's like learning music.
But there's great music out there. And it's the next. I want the next one. Here's the next one. More. It's that YouTube generation where it's just constant picking gratification.
Well, okay. So you see that, and I see an opportunity to be left alone by my children.
Oh, it's slippery slope, my mama. I will never call you my mama ever again.
You're acting like I just leave YouTube on all day. This is like a half hour on a Saturday morning.
Oh, but I see what it does to him. He locks in, and it's not a deep engagement. It's a mindless, like, dangling keys.
I don't think it is that, though. You're talking about kids who, like, click through YouTube videos, and they're, like, watching, like, you know, box opening gift videos or something. He's just watching a loop of nursery rhyme songs.
Little monkeys jumping on the bed. One falls out and bumps his head.
Once again, you don't have
Mama
to be locked
the
in.
Doctor, the doctor said a robot recorded this song. Boom, boom.
No one's asking
it's
you to sit there and watch it.
Lamest and straightest rhythm that ever has been recorded.
I'm sorry he doesn't have the sophistication of a 35-year-old man who's had a lifetime of
music.
He's
just such a rube. What an idiot.
You have to let people have their entry points
I'm just
into
kidding.
Your interests.
It's not about my interests. It's about this maddening sound coming from the living room. I just want to... Boy, I think we were both pretty upset that he didn't want to watch The Land Before Time.
I mean, in his defense, movies of that generation are so slowly paced.
It's good for his brain to wait to be bored.
Okay.
Except he screamed for 20 minutes. I don't want this. I don't want this. I want chumbalas.
Yeah, and you could have just put on YouTube and left the room.
Ugh. Parenting's the worst. But I'm doing a great job. 98%. All right, before we go, we have one final fun little game segment called Would You Know What To Do's, where one of us presents a hypothetical parenting situation to the other, and the other must explain, decide what they would do. Beth, you have a Would You Know's for me.
Yeah, so just a little bit of backstory. Last night, my sister and I tried to take Bryn and Maven to dinner. Bryn was being very difficult, crawling under the table, so we traded off taking him for little walks outside the restaurant. One of those times, I was on the sidewalk with him, and he was, like, very performative, and he was doing his potty humor, and he was like, I farted. Mommy, you farted. Very loudly on the sidewalk. So my parenting hypothetical is you're pushing Bryn through the grocery store. Mm-hmm. He shouts out, Daddy pooped his pants. Daddy pooped his pants. How do you respond?
No, I didn't. Wait, he doesn't. I've not pooped my pants. Then I get on the loudspeaker. No, I wouldn't do that. What would I do? Okay, I'm very embarrassed. Because as you know, if you listen to this podcast at all, I don't want people looking at me, unless we've all agreed on it. So I think this tactic is the big thing I do not do is make Bryn think that I'm trying to get him to stop. Because that is the most the guarantees that he will continue louder and bigger.
You're already so tense just discussing this. I feel like you've already telegraphed to him how uncomfortable you are.
I just realized you said that I sat up straight in my chair. My back is off the back. My feet are up. I am tense.
See, I have a lot of embarrassment about like the kids melting down in public, but this is one of those things where I would just kind of laugh because I feel like everyone around me would be laughing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. This is not nearly as bad as the Maven puking on herself in public. But I think there is. I don't want the community to think like that's the dad who thinks that
that's
farts
the dad who pooped his pants.
Oh yeah, so that. No, no part of my brain was worried that people would believe him. Well, how did he say it? Did he say it laughing or did he go, "Daddy, you pooped your pants"?
Oh, my dad pooped his pants again.
I think I would try to play along with the joke, but get really close to him and divert the attention. I would heighten it too. Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, Bryn's got Jell-O in his brain. You got a Jell-O head? You got Jell-O in your head. And then he'd go, "What's Jell-O?" And I gotta go, "Oh, that was not a good detail." And then hopefully he's forgotten about it by then.
He said something last night where Allison asked him if he remembered something from the past, and he was so confused. And also doing his like broken ear thing where he's like, "What? What? Yeah. What? What?" And so Allison said, "Oh, I guess you don't remember because your brain's not fully formed." And meaning, you know, he doesn't remember things as well as a grown up. And so he said, "My brain's broken."
I tried to tell him about bones, that he loves skeletons, that there's bones inside of him. And he was put off.
Understandably.
That there's a skeleton in you.
Yeah.
I was like pushing his ribs. I was like, "These are your ribs, skull in your head." And he's like trying to see himself. And he just goes, "No, Daddy, no."
I mean, that sounds upsetting. He's been very obsessed with these Chumbalos videos on YouTube.
Everyone go check out Chumbalos. Chumbalaka, Chumbalaka, Chumbala.
Yeah, I think it's actually called Los Escalitos. Anyway.
It's great.
That's the song. It's a Dia de los Muertos song. Sweet. That he learned at daycare, and he loves it. And anyway, so he's into that. He's into Coco now.
Ooh, Coco!
And the idea that we are those skeletons, I think, is terrifying. Because then it's like, is my skin gonna go away?
I don't think he's fully wrapped his brain around it to the point where to have a thought that coherent.
Right, but it's like,
can we talk about Coco for a second? Oh, okay. My favorite thing. Coco is great. Great movie. There's a part at the end where they play the song, and Beth did not see this movie, but the second time I was watching, she comes in right, I'm not going to spoil it, right at the end where a song is prominent, and immediately bursts into tears the same moment I did. And I was like, "You didn't see any of the setup of this. You don't know what this means."
Yeah, but it was like about love and family. It was
but it's about love and family. Yeah. No, I get it. Pixar, they know what they're doing.
It was beautiful.
You know what? I'll give you a 98.7.
Oh, thank you. All right, thanks for listening to We Knows Parenting. If you have any parenting questions, please send them to us at weknowspod@gmail.com or at us on Twitter at weknowspod.
We're very excited to hear your questions so we can talk about them because, boy, we're trapped up here in the suburbs and don't have any friends. So please be our digital friends.
Also, we don't know the answer, but we're going to try to figure it out.
That's sort of the idea. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.